welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Dan Fernandez. We are filming from my house today since there was a lot of snow in Redmond. Our studio is shut down, but I'll try and get through things nice and quickly for you since I have no one to talk to for this week's episode. Big news, though, just to get started, Kinect for Windows SDK. So what this allows you to do is it's going to be an SDK that you can program Kinect applications for Windows. So not for Xbox, which requires the SDK. This is, you know, if you're programming all sorts of different hacks that we've seen on the web and that we've covered on This Week on Channel 9 as well. So lots of cool stuff coming on there, including beyond just the access to the cameras. They hinted at some stuff in this blog post, like audio support. So should be coming in spring, and that'll definitely be something that we'll be adding a lot more videos and content around for Channel 9. Next up is the productivity power tools. So what this is, and we've talked about these before, is the latest release of the productivity power tools includes some features, and the big one, I think, is and this is just for people that like clean code. Visual Basic developers now get some of the code cleaning features that C# developers have had for a while, which is the ability to remove unused namespaces or import statements or using statements in C# from the top of your file, as well as to sort them. So you'll see them alphabetically, and you'll be able to remove them if you're not actually using them. So it's kind of a small thing, but I actually love that feature and use it all the time. So another nice feature is support for multi-targeting. So let's say in our application we have a target profile of .NET client profile. What we want to do, though, is use some system.web utilities, for example, to URL encode. So if we try and add that dependency in, we'll actually Visual Studio won't let you because you've targeted one and that's outside of the framework. So this basically enables you to let you know what's going on in terms of the client profile that you want to target, what's supported within there, and lets you know before you make a mistake and say, for example, change the targeting if you do want to add it. Or people will like say, hey, Visual Studio is broken and won't let me add this dependency. Next up is Lawrence Moroni has a blog post about the web matrix refresh. So what we've done is released a new version of Web Matrix, and that is primarily bug fixes and a couple of features knobs to change. So in terms of bug fixes, some developers were running into issues connecting to MySQL in certain circumstances. Other developers couldn't use IIS Express if their My Documents file was in a root folder. Another example is PHP developers. If you want to be able to set your document encoding, you now can via a registry key. So check out the full list. This isn't, say, big major new features. It really is more like simple improvements. So if you haven't yet, get a chance. You can now play with Web Matrix Refresh. Yohai Kiriani has something on the Windows Phone Team blog. So it's a shake gesture library. So for people that have never built apps, what you want to do sometimes is, and I'll just give you two examples, music library, you want to be able to add a shake gesture. So if somebody shakes the phone, it'll, for example, skip to a random track. Or in a restaurant finding application, it'll pick a random restaurant. So this library has methods that allow you to granularly control the tolerance level that you want for the shaking. So how many times do they have to shake? How hard do they have to shake? And just makes it really easy to add this into your applications. Greg Duncan, friend of the show, talked about the Windows Phone 7 Quick Starts on the Coding for Fun blog. So think about these as if you've never, for example, they're very task-based, like just we're going to cover a single topic like just animation, just a specific control, just drawing, just using media, just using images, and so forth. So check out these examples, especially if you haven't used a certain part of Silverlight. It'll help you kind of get started And I wouldn't call this the definitive documentations. It's the quick starts, right? Next up is actually an article that Dennis Delamarski wrote on undocumented Zune APIs. So I didn't know these existed, but what you can do with these is, assuming you know, like, say, the GUID of a particular person, and you can get yours, and you can get them from, I think it was from the Zune tag XML feed, which is a public Zune feed, then you can call these other XML APIs to get, say, your friends list, recent music, most played, your play count, friends of friends, obviously, because that retrieves the GUIDs, and then you can do, keep moving down the social graph, if you will, for Zune. So a lot of cool features, and I'm sure some people are going to add this to Windows Phone 7 media applications. So cool stuff. Next up, and this is from Greg Duncan's blog, was re-implementing link to objects. So for people that are familiar with SQL language commands like sorting, filtering, where you're basically working on sets of data, those are all operators, and operators are it's basically just a method, if you will, an extension method that takes a certain type and returns a certain type. And these walk John Skeet does is walks you through the signatures that exist for these methods and how to actually implement, based on the signature, how he would implement link to objects with them. So this includes things like what are the checks that one has to do to make sure something isn't null, what kind of exceptions would you raise, what would the test be, and even sort of his personal, here's how I would have designed it, or hey, here's how I would have done things like return types. Next up is an article. So the jQuery UI team is now starting to come out with a grid control. The reason this is cool is because a lot of people are using jQuery UI, so rather than having to use a separate a JavaScript grid control or using something on the server side, you can now use jQuery UI grid control. This walks through an MVC example that takes some data from a model, converts it into JSON objects, and just returns it back. And then there's two ways to bind this. Just inline bind and using the new data templates that we've covered on previous shows. So cool examples of using jQuery, and I don't think the grid is finalized just yet, but you should probably take a look at it just so you can see what features are included. So a code project article, this is by Fred Song, I believe it is. And this is an ASP.NET MVC server explorer. So think about it this way. It's a Windows Explorer view in a web page. So for some reason, I feel like this always ends up being a requirement, say, for internal applications. Maybe you're copy-pasting files from the web. You want to list, download files, whatever it happens to be. This gives you the tree view of your files, the metadata about those files and folders, lets you drill into files, folders, etc. So example exists. Chances are you're going to use it at some point. And next up, this is kind of a fun one. Profanity by language. So what Andrew did here was looked at commits to Git and looked at the commit comments. So he chose an equal representation of C#, C++, C, Java, JavaScript, PHP, Python, and Ruby. And the findings were pretty interesting, which is that C++ was the number one language that had the most curse words, and the system he used was the George Carlin 7 Dirty Words. C++ was number one, and it looks like JavaScript and Ruby are number two, or tied for number two. C# and Java are about the same, and interestingly enough, PHP was the lowest. So for everybody that thinks PHP is for script kiddies, they tend to either, maybe they're actually misspelling curse words, which would be another interesting angle. So, but definitely check this out. He has some other graphs on comparing uses of the word OMG, WTF, ZOMG, etc. So kind of a fun example. And we talked about Reflector last week. And we mentioned the ReSharper, or JetBrains, the makers of ReSharper, had a teasing a tease post on what they were doing for decompilers. So they now have a new post that says ReSharper 6, which is in their EAP, which is their CTP kind of program, is actually going to include a decompiler. So directly within code, you can right-click and say, show me the source. Second is they're actually going to have a standalone tool. So the standalone tool, it would be effectively what Reflector gives. I mean, nobody's actually seen it. They do have screenshots of the in-code view that is going to ship with ReSharper, but they will say it is going to be free and stay free. And then finally, picks of the week. So my pick of the week is Miguel's post where he analyzes the well actually. So the way I look at it is developers, whenever they're writing code, they have to be incredibly precise. So that is good to make sure your programs work and you don't have any errors. It's terrible for social situations where you're the person in the conversation, four people around, and you're always interrupting to make sure that, you know, correct some little detail, add some little detail. You're the well actually guy. You're saying, well actually there were, whatever the example happens to be. I'm not even going to bother coming up with one now. But you probably are familiar with this. I know I've done this, and I apologize for that. Now the new phrase is, did you just well actually me? So next time somebody well actually is you, and chances are it's going to be a developer, you can repeat that to them. So that's this week's episode. Hopefully it's been quick, easy, and fun, and we'll see you all next week in the studio. Thanks.